Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day that you've provided for us and the opportunity that we have to come freely into your house and worship you. And Father, it's my prayer that our songs of praise and prayers have been pleasing in your sight today. And Father, as we enter into this time of worship, I pray for our pastor as he opens your word to us. Father, I pray that you would empower him to preach with authority and without apology. And Father, for us as a congregation, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive so that we may take your word and apply it in our lives beginning this very day. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. How you like the chairs? I want to thank our... I told you I had a couple of pieces of good news, and I do. I want to first of all thank our Refresh team that has... Doesn't this look more like a sanctuary now? Yes. And I know some of you are still mad because you're not in your right seat today. That's okay. That's okay. There's going to be a lot of different seats in heaven, and we're going to kind of be rearranged up there as well. So anyways, if you're here and in the right spot today, look at your neighbor and say, welcome. All right. Here's the first piece of good news. We have gotten started on the His Works building next door. Things are beginning to roll together. Mike Boysall's just he is a slice of heaven. His crews are working over there. And brother, I just want you to know, I don't know where Mike is. There he is over there. He's out of place too. Anyways, but he's doing a great work for the Lord over there and getting his crews together. And we're going to let you all know next week how you can fit in and plug in and help us over there. We're doing a lot of the kind of the demolition work ourselves and some other things we'll be doing. And you'll be hearing about more of that next weekend once we get all our ducks in a row on how you can plug in. And then how many of you enjoyed having the Rainies last week? Wasn't that good? And after the three-part sermon series on giving, the freedom in giving, I don't know who all put this together, but there are four families that have put together some resources of $10,000 so that they can get started on that mission house down in the Dominican Republic. Y'all, that is a terrible response. Give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Man. Maybe some of you are mad that they didn't contact you. You can give too. Hallelujah. But I got a call from that this week, and I thought, praise God for a giving church. Praise God for a giving church. Amen. And so you'll be hearing more about that mission house as it's going up. I think Wade's going to send us some video material as to how the money's being spent and how the building's going to go up and all that kind of thing. But anyways, I'm just excited to be able to preach this morning. So turn to Psalm 107, if you would. Starting a three-part sermon series on, you know, we looked at the freedom in giving back a few weeks ago, and we're going to look at the freedom of living and how there's freedom. God has set us free to live for His honor and glory. And so we're going to be looking at that issue the next 3 weeks, and then we're going to look at probably a five-part message on the freedom of love, getting set free to love people. Look at somebody and say, I love you. All right. Some of you don't have anybody to love. Bless your heart. This morning we're looking, I've used it for a title, The Song of a Soul Set Free. We're looking at the freedom that God gives us in living. And I don't know if you have found this out, but I have learned, especially over the last few years, there is freedom when we learn how to give God praise and thanksgiving. And I want to talk about praise and thanksgiving for a few minutes this morning. And I'm praying that some of you all will get freed up to do that. Matter of fact, I'm praying everybody in the church house would get freed up to do that. We're going to be giving God praise and glory for a long, long time. And we're practicing now for what we're going to be doing then. Amen? So if you're in Psalm 107, would you stand to your feet as we honor God's word? Just want to read the first three verses there. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Now, who in the world is that? By the way, sir, if you're born again, ma'am, if you're saved, that's you. You're a part of the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has, amen, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Hallelujah. Father, bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your authoritative word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. When I think back of all that God has done in this place and through you all the last 5 years, my heart is filled to overflowing with praise for God and thanksgiving for all that he's done and continues to do. God is good. All the time God is good. And so I've got a song to sing today. And it is the song of a soul that's been set free. And if you're a believer today, you've been set free. And you may still be shackled up by some things that we've been talking about this year, but you are free. And if Jesus has set you free, you're free indeed. And so I want to talk for just a little bit. I just want to give God praise and I want to give him some thanksgiving this morning. How was the lake this weekend? The sun was out. I can see. Amen. Our teenagers... our youth, our ladies went down to the Denny's Cabin Lake House this weekend, had a great time down there. Anyways, this psalm, y'all, is very significant. And the exiles from Babylon, they'd been in captivity. The Israelites, the Jews had been in captivity, a foreign culture, a foreign country, and they had been allowed to come back home. And about 45,000 of them came back home from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and to rebuild the temple. And this psalm was probably sung after the laying of the foundation of the new temple, the second temple. And it was a song of a people who had been set free and released and delivered. And by the way, isn't that us? Yeah, that's us. And so I want you to listen in as God gives us three great reasons to give him praise and thanksgiving this morning. Are you ready? All right, here it is. First of all, look at what God desires. Look what the Lord desires from us this morning. Watch this. Look at verse 1. Let me read it again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Jump down to verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 15. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Jump down to verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You think God's trying to get a message over to us? Look at verse 31. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. And by the way, that includes women and everybody too. Okay? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people, and praise him in the company of the elders. God desires that we give him praise. He wants to hear us praise him. Now, praise is different from thanksgiving. You understand that? Giving God praise is for who he is, his attributes. How many of you know who God is? I mean, he's awesome, isn't he? Give me one of the characteristics of God, real quick.
Almighty.
Almighty.
Holy.
Holy.
Giving.
Sovereign.
Loving.
Omniscient.
Omniscient.
Somebody's taking up the floor here. Let's give somebody else a chance. What else? What else? What else? What else? Yes. Come on. The list is endless, you all. And so that's giving God praise for who he is. And he desires that praise. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, we're getting ready here for what we're going to be doing there. Turn over to Revelation. And that book has no S on the end of it. Please don't let me hear y'all say Revelations anymore. This book is the revealing of the glorified Christ. It's not Revelations. It's the revelation, the uncovering of the magnified Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in chapter 5 of Revelation, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to start at verse 8. Hold on to your seat. Are there seat belts on those chairs? Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. For those of you that don't like contemporary songs, hello. You're going to have trouble because we're going to be singing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Out of every tribe and tongue of people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then John says, I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. He's having trouble putting a number on it. All right, multiplied millions, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, the sevenfold blessing there. And every creature, this is all of creation, gang, which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four living creatures said, amen. That's creation. And the 24 elders, that's Israel, and the church fell down and worshiped him who lived forever and ever. God desires our praise today. And I want to tell you, as a longtime Southern Baptist, we all need to learn how to praise God. You know what changed my attitude about worship? When I was in seminary, I studied through the book of Revelation. And it changed the way I think about worship. We are to give God everything. And he desires our praise and our thanksgiving. And bless God, we ought to give it to him. Why? Because he's worthy. Oh, some Baptist should have jumped up and shouted right then. He's worthy. He is worthy. You start thinking about what heaven's going to be like, man, and it'll set you free. Whew. Somebody's going to get this by the time we get to the end of the sermon. Here's the second thing, second reason for praise and thanksgiving. Not only are we told, look what the Lord desires, look what the Lord has done. Look at verse 2. I'm back in Psalm 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let me read that again. Let the redeemed of the Lord, that's us, say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now get this picture in your mind. God had used an old pagan king from Persia to write a decree to set the captives free and let them go home to rebuild their city and their great temple. And so around this foundation, you've got folks who have been set free from their past, who have been released to give God praise, and they've been delivered, and they're back in the city around the foundation that's been built. You know, the temple was the center of everything in Jerusalem. It was headquarters. And now they're back after 70 years, and they began to lift up praise. The redeemed, the delivered, the ransomed, the rescued, they begin to lift up great praise for what God has done. I mean, and when you read through Psalm 107, we don't have time, I know, to read through the whole thing, but let me just kind of encapsulate it. In verses 4 through 9, Israel's like a person who was lost in the desert, and God stepped in and found them and brought them home. In verses 10 through 16, Israel is like a person who's been locked in a dungeon, and God steps in and opens the prison door and sets them free. In verses 17 through 22, Israel is like a person who is lying on her deathbed. She's almost at extinction. And God steps in and gave her brand new life. Is that not your testimony? And then in Psalm 107, verses, I believe it's verses 23 through 31 and 32, Israel is like a person who was languishing in the deep. In other words, she'd been through a tremendous storm, and God stepped in and told the waves and the wind to sit down and shut up. And that's what they did. And verse 32, that's why we have verse 32. It says, let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of elders. Brothers and sisters, if you have ever found yourself in a dry, desert, dark, defeated experience, Psalm 107 is your psalm. If you've ever been chained to an addiction or some circumstance, or been in some type of spiritual prison, Psalm 107 is yours. If you've ever been downtrodden and depressed and defeated and just lower than a snake's belly and had lost your joy for living, Psalm 107 is for you. If you've ever experienced a storm in your life and almost went down, Psalm 107 is yours. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. Glory to God. We used to, being the key words when you're my age, but we used to sing a song called, Look What the Lord Has Done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, he touched my mind. He saved me, oh, just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day is just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Give him praise in the house today. Oh, if I get undignified in my praise, what will somebody think? Who cares what somebody thinks? You go ahead and get your praise on. The Lord wants it. Amen. This was what was really good for me, being in all those revival meetings in July. Folks, we need to experience. There's something else out there just besides Second Mile Church. The family of God. Some of us worship different. Some of us pray differently. Some of us do things a little bit non-Baptist. Can I be nice enough to put it like that? And it's okay. It's all right. It is okay. As a matter of fact, we need a little bit of what they got, and they need a little bit of what we got. Amen? And so let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Now, here's the last thing, and this may be the best one of all. Look at what God desires. He desires our praise and thanksgiving. And thanks, I didn't say this, but thanksgiving is giving God praise for what he's done and is doing. But here's the last one. Look at what the Lord will do. Woo, look at verse 3. And gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Now, this was a regathering of Israel in real time, okay? They're standing around this newly constructed, about to be constructed, second temple. And so God had brought the folks home, his people home from a foreign land. And I want to tell you, this also has a prophetic significance to it, a prophetic picture. If you want to know what God's doing, keep your eye on Israel. If you're into prophecy, if you want to know what's going to happen, keep your eyes on Israel. He's going to bring them from the where? Four corners of the earth. Did y'all know there's about 15.3 million Jewish folks in the world? And now there are, Hitler killed over 6 million of them in Israel. But now there's over 7.2 million Jews back in Israel. God's bringing them back. He's regathering his people. And I don't know what's going to tilt you all over to praise and thanksgiving this morning, but there's another regathering that's going to happen too. We call it the rapture. Is the word rapture in the Bible? That literal word isn't, but it means a snatching away. By the way, Sunday school's not in the Bible either. And neither is covered dish dinner. But we do all these things, right? And so there's coming a day. Where is Jesus right now? That's right. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. It really kind of makes me scratch my head when I hear a testimony that says, you know, I saw Jesus. He protected me. He was out in the middle of the highway, and I should have run off the road, but he was there, and I saw him. Well, unless he's got a twin brother, he's at the right hand of God right now. And he can do anything he wants to through the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But one of these days, the Father's going to look over at the Son, and he's going to say, Son, I have had enough. It is time to go get our people. And the Bible says Jesus will rise from the throne of God, and he's going to shout, come up here, or something of that nature. And then the archangel is going to, I don't know what he's going to say. He may say, well, devil, you thought you had us. Wrong again. The saints are coming home. I don't know what he's going to say. And then there's going to be a trumpet blast, and all of creation, well, the saved are going to hear that trumpet. And you know what's going to happen? God's going to regather all his people. His church. I mean, think about this now. Graves all over the world. Christians, believers, they're going to be raised from the dead. We believe some wild stuff, but God's a regatherer. And any believer that has passed away and gone on before us, they're going to be raised. And their bodies, Jesus is bringing their spirits back with him on the clouds, and their body is going to be changed in the moment of an eye, and they're going to have a body like Jesus. And then we who are still alive, who still remain, the Bible says, our bodies are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the Bible says we're all going to rise to meet him in the air, and we're going to be with him forever. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, bless God, learning to live, learning to die. And one of these days, I'm going to learn to fly. Glory to God. Now, think about this. Think about this scenario. The church is together. the new heavens. Israel is together, the new earth. And all God's people are home. And guess what? There's not going to be any more cancer. There's not going to be any more stroke or heart attack. Bless God, no more shingles. There's not going to be any more sickness. No more COVID. Hallelujah. There's not going to be any more health issues whatsoever. No more suffering. No more family breakdowns. No more heartbreak. Not going to be any more separation with loved ones. Not going to be any more death. Funeral directors and pastors and preachers are going to be out of a job. And by the way, Garrett, the military family is going to be out of a job because there's going to be no more war. Hallelujah. But we'll have something for you to do, I promise. Listen, brothers and sisters, and there's no more night. But where's my little ones? Who's scared of the dark in here? There's coming to a place. We're going to a place where there's no, and there's no more sin. Hallelujah. And I know I can't work this up in you, but it comes out of a heart that's just deeply grateful for all God has done. And I've said all of that to say this morning. The best way you can give God praise this morning is by surrendering your life to Him as your Lord and Savior. Some of you are here and your name's on a church roll somewhere. That ain't going to get you to heaven. No. You've got to come to God His way. You've got to be willing to repent, to turn from your sin, and turn to the finished work of Christ Jesus as your only means of salvation, and surrender to Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you'll do that today, you're going to get a chance to do that here in just a minute. We'll have counselors. We'll have folks to read the scriptures to you, pray with you, thank God for you. But I think the vast majority of us in here probably just need a fresh surrender of your will to His will, whatever He's wanting you to do. That's the best way you can praise Him this morning, by giving Him everything that you are to everything that He is. And then you know what you can be able to do? You can walk out of here this morning with a song of a soul set free. Would you bow your heads with me? Nobody's looking around. Just focus in on the Lord and ask Him right now, Lord, am I one of yours? Am I one of your children? And if the answer to that is yes, ask Him this question. Lord, am I where you want me to be? I want my yes to be yes. Whatever it is you're wanting out of me, Lord, I want a fresh surrender in my life today, because I want to stand before you one day so I can give you honest praise and thanksgiving. And if your answer to that first question was no, friend, you can leave here born again, on your way to heaven with the abundant life here on earth that God desires for you to have. But that step has to be taken by you. I can't take it for you. Your mom and daddy can't take it for you. Your grandparents can't take it for you. You've got to make that step of faith. If you'd be willing today to pray right where you sit and say, Lord, I am a sinner, lost and undone. I believe Jesus is your Son, And I know that he died on a cross 2,000 years ago so that I could be forgiven. And Lord, right now, forgive me of all my sin. I give my life to you. I surrender everything to you. I'm yours. Thank you for forgiving me here today. Thank you for saving me. Now, I will say something real strong to you, but loving. You cannot be a private Christian. You need to take your stand for Jesus today. And you do that just by coming forward. We'll get some stuff in your hands. We'll pray over you. And we'll set up a time for your baptism. And God's people will rejoice. We're not going to embarrass you and ask you a bunch of questions in front of everybody. You're coming just saying, hey, I'm ready. And then the rest of you that are coming for prayer, public prayer is huge. You just need to hit this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I'm yours. Take my life. Lead me. Father, I pray for everybody in the church house today. God, help us, help us, help us, help us to give you praise with our lives by surrendering to you. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this place tonight, today, to hear your word and to lift up praises in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now is this time we call a time of invitation, a time of response, and it's your time. All we're asking you to do is just come. Some of you need to just come and pray for the fresh surrender of your will to His will. Some of you need to come. You've prayed and received Christ today. You know who doesn't want you to do that? The devil. He wants to keep you the way you are. Jesus wants to change your life and give you things that you never dreamed of. But you've got to come. Let's all stand. What are we going to sing, Andrew?
Take my life. Lead me, Lord.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.